Turn with me again this morning to Daniel chapter 10. And beginning in verse 4, let's hear the word of God. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Our Heavenly Father, we are blessed to once again be able to open your word, to feed upon it for a time. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds indeed be open to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. Daniel is a servant of God with a gift of prophecy. And we've seen for some time now that Daniel has lived his life in favor with God. And just because he lives his life in favor with God doesn't necessarily mean he's going to live a pain-free life. He'd spent most of his life in exile. But that time in exile for him was spent in relative comfort. He was in exile, but he lived in the king's palace. And even though that luxury existed, his life wasn't without trials. You know, not everybody appreciated the gift that Daniel had. Daniel truly had a heart for God and for God's people. And, you think if only God's people had the same kind of heart. Daniel is pleading to God for his people. He's praying to God for his people. And the people pretty much oblivious to those things. They're just living their lives, doing their thing, whatever. They're not even paying attention that much to the fact that they had 70 years of chastening. That just didn't quite sink in. But we see Daniel once again has a vision, and this vision has moved him into mourning, a state of mourning. And for 3 weeks, he gives up a very rich diet, and he pretty much lets himself go. Not because he just want to be mad, it's because he is so moved by the situation that he doesn't really care about anything else except speaking to God on behalf of these people. It says here, it's the 24th day of the first month. So his 3 weeks are up. That's the 3 weeks that he spent in fasting and prayer and whatnot, they're up, and he's gone, and he's taken a little trip down by the Tigris River. And we look at this, and I have a disagreement with Calvin on this particular thing, because I read the scriptures, and I can see that this is going on. Calvin thinks that this was a vision, that this entire episode was a vision that Daniel had in his place. But as we'll see, I'll give you reasons for my disagreement with the great exegete. He's walking by the river, and he's no doubt dwelling on the things that have gone through in his life over the last 3 weeks, the things he's been thinking about. And as he's walking by the river, he looks up and he sees a man. Not just any man, This man had an appearance that demanded Daniel's attention. There was a specialness to this fellow that was unlike anybody that Daniel had ever seen before. Excuse me. Says he was clothed in linen, wearing a golden belt. He had a body of beryl. A beryl is a gemstone. And in its purest form, it's transparent. It's clear. And it has a greenish kind of a tint, greenish or yellowish kind of a tint to it. And beryl, in its when it comes in a dark green form, is called emerald. But this is what he's looking at. This individual has a face. He described it's a face like lightning. His eyes are like torches. His arms and his legs are like polished bronze. And he has a loud and a powerful voice. That's an impressive sight. That's an impressive being to behold. But one thing that we got to know is that this individual that Daniel is looking at, this is not a Christophany. This is not a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. This is an angel. And it's an angel that reflects the magnificence of Almighty God. You'll remember Moses, when he came down from Sinai, had to be covered. He had interacted with Almighty God, and the reflection, the brightness of his face was such that the people couldn't look at him. They had to cover him with a veil. And so this is an angel. This is an angel reflecting Almighty God. So when it makes all these descriptions. One thing also that when we think about God and we think about the scriptures, God doesn't do anything frivolously. He doesn't do anything simply for show. You know, this angel appears, but he's not there for ratings. He's not there to put on a show. He is there to make an impression on Daniel to get the point across. But he's there also to give Daniel aid and to deliver a message. Now, I've already said that this is something that was actually happening. Calvin said that he thought it was an entire vision. Calvin is kind of by himself in that. There are other commentators that also look at this as a real occurrence. But why I say it is because Daniel was not alone. There were other men with him. He said, I was by the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted my eyes and looked at a certain man, whatever, and so on and so on. But then he says, I alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. He was not alone. There were others that were with him. Daniel alone saw the angel. Now, the others, they may have seen something, or they may have heard something, but they couldn't decipher what it is that was going on. All we know for certain is whatever their perception of the situation was, it scared them to death. They said, hey, Daniel, nice to know you. We're out of here. We're hightailing it. Well, I don't know what's going on, but we don't want to stay here and have any part of it. That's not so unusual. You remember when Jesus came to Paul, to Saul on the way to Damascus, and he speaks to him, and Saul understands plainly what it is that Jesus is saying to him, but everybody who was with Saul just heard a bunch of noise. They didn't know what was going on. So God has geared his message. Here he's geared to Daniel. There in Acts, he was geared to Saul. they were moved. The other people were moved and took off. Daniel, we see something as we've gone through this book and in different times. We see Daniel has a real sensitivity to Almighty God. So much that he has physical reactions to his interaction with God. And this particular vision, this time, it's so moving to him that he becomes physically drained. He got weak in the knees. The color drained from his face. But still he understood what was being said to him. He's having a physical reaction, but he's plainly aware of what the message is that's coming to him from this angel sent by God. It so moved him that he passed out. He went into a deep sleep. There's a medical term for what happened to Daniel here. It's usually if you go into the ER, they refer to it as a DFO. Daniel done fell out. He went out. What was it that could have such an effect on him? What was it merely that an angel was speaking to him? Why would you have that reaction? Or was it the reflection that angel had about him? Was it that angel reflected the holiness of God? There is a symbol of God's holiness in the linen attire that the angel is wearing. The linen, although linen was a common cloth, linen was specifically used for priestly attire. And in that use, it was obviously set apart from what it was common. When we come to the Lord's table, we have a plate of bread. We have a tray of wine. And this is the same wine that if you wanted to have with your meal, you could pour a glass of wine and drink it. You know, but it's set apart when we come to the Lord's table. This is set apart for a special thing. Just as the attire of the priest, though it may have been a common cloth, this linen was set apart for a special duty. And this angel, when he comes to Daniel, is wearing the linen. He is reflecting the holiness of God. When we speak of the holiness of God, what are we talking about? We have to recognize that God is not like us. He is separate from us. He is so different. The prophet Habakkuk, first chapter, 13th verse, said, speaking to God, he says, "You are of purer eyes than to look upon evil, and you cannot look upon weakness or wickedness." That doesn't sound like mortal men. Not only can mortal men look upon evil, mortal men desire to look upon evil. Almighty God in his holiness is repulsed by that. He can't take it. He can't have it in his presence. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." But we try to make it so. As men, we want to form God into our image instead of realizing that we are created in his. Daniel is acquainted with God's holiness. And in this vision of this angel that he sees, that holiness is very real to him. But not only that, he also has a very vivid reflection of God's glory. He speaks of the brightness of the angel's face. He says it's like lightning. You ever been in a storm at night and the lightning flashes? I've been out driving some nights and the storm will come up and it's dark. You know, not only is it night, the clouds have rolled in, it's pouring down rain, and it is pitch black dark. And then all of a sudden, the lightning flashes, and for that brief minute, it's like you're grabbing for your sunglasses. Because it's blinding. This is the appearance that Daniel sees in this angel, this reflection. His face, his countenance is like lightning, and it says his eyes are like torches. Now, we've seen things like that in science fiction films and stuff like that, where they've tried to recreate the scriptures, though maybe not intending to. But the eyes are aflame, they're piercing, they're penetrating, they're communicating. And Daniel sees that in this angel, and he's moved by it. This is a reflection of the glory of God. The powerful sound of the voice was such as to push Daniel to the ground. It forced him down to his face. He was moved by, excuse me, by that appearance. This was something that, while it moved Daniel to fall on his face, it sent those who were with him running. They didn't see it. They just knew there was something there. And they went running. Daniel, the prophet. This was Daniel. He was a godly man. And we wonder, excuse me, about any of us. Who of us could come before the reflection of God's majesty and not fall on our face? How dare we think that we could come before Almighty God and just march in with our shoulders back and our chin to the sky? This was Daniel that's being put down here like this. You know, this is not the kind of God that is wanted in our culture. The God that our culture wants, and problematically, too many who call themselves Christian, is a laid back, easygoing kind of a God. They want this sugar daddy. They want a big Santa Claus in the sky. We're into the holiday season. Christmas started sometime after the 4th of July. We're pushing that direction. And Santa always threatens bad kids with a lump of coal. But it's an empty threat. No kid ever wakes up on Christmas morning to discover that Santa has left them a lump of coal. It just doesn't happen. The worst brat in the world gets a present on Christmas. It happens. Santa is not too, you know, he's an easygoing guy. We don't want a holy God who is absolutely true to his word, who tells us how to live, and who promises us that he will judge us. We don't like that idea. It bothers us. No, in our culture, if we want a God at all, we want a God who just kind of winks at sin, who kind of shakes his head and chuckles a little bit, you know, boys will be boys. We want the kind of God who, if we actually have to come to judgment, we know that he's going to sit there and shrug and say, well, you did your best, don't worry about it. Our God, Almighty God, is holy. And he is glorious. And he is just. And he's gracious and he's merciful. He is fully aware that even men like Daniel, who have dedicated their whole lives to him, cannot abide his presence without his help. And so he gave his son Jesus to make the way. It's only through the finished work of Christ alone that we can approach the Father. We dare not get so puffed up with ourselves to think that we can just march into God's presence, because that ain't happening. Excuse me. Without the intercession of Jesus, we would not only fall prostrate on our face before Almighty God. The fact is, we would be destroyed. Our faith is in Christ alone. Our hope is in Christ alone. Our mediator is Christ alone. What amazing grace the Father has shown to his children. If we recall, if we can remember God's holiness, especially through times of trial or persecution, it can be a help to us. Satan wants us to think that obedience to God really doesn't matter much. It doesn't matter if we follow God. It's okay if we just do our own thing. Life's hard. It isn't fair. Why not just go the easy way? Because, hey, Santa won't care. But if God is holy, obedience to his will is not a minor deal. It's not something that we can just look at, you know, lightly. It should be part of our makeup. We should desire to be obedient to him. We should desire to be holy, even as he is holy. God is committed to saving a people for himself. And he demands a commitment from his church. It's not just him sitting there saying, I demand this of you, and you just, you know, take it or leave it. It's not a light saying. I mean, it's just, you know, whatever you want to do. So what's too much of a sacrifice? To be obedient. What is it that God might require of us that just seems to be too much? Has God given you a call? Has God given you a gift? If you're a Christian, the answer is yes. Because God doesn't save anybody that he doesn't give something to. What's involved in using that gift? What's involved in fulfilling that call? Some people are called to minister to the gospel away from their home, where they give up what's comfortable to go to some place that's very much uncomfortable for the gospel's sake. Is that the greatest sacrifice? If we examine our own lives, I'm sure we can individually look at things and say, oh, you know what? For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of a holy God, this is not necessary in my life. I sacrifice this. I give it up. I don't need it because I want to be obedient. I want to progress in holiness. There's certainly no sacrifice that we can make that exceeds the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel is confronted with this angel, and he's shaken, and he falls to the ground on his face, and it says, suddenly a hand touched me. This hand reached out and just put his hand on my shoulder, and I started to tremble. It made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. You see, God's not about just inflicting fear on you. His presence will do that because we're sinful people. He's a holy God, and we may have that fearful reaction. But if we are his children, he reaches the hand down and touches us. And though we may tremble, it's a hand of encouragement. And he says, as he says to Daniel, you're greatly beloved. As a child of God, you are greatly beloved. God does love you. He's not sitting up there just trying to see how much sport he can have with you. God is not the cosmic sadist, as we've said so many times. He doesn't get his kicks out of seeing you suffer. He reaches down his hand of encouragement and reminds us that we are greatly beloved. We need to be mindful of that. We need to remember that. The burden that you have been called to bear is not too heavy. You don't bear it alone. You don't bear it alone. You're greatly beloved. Let's pray.